Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
Jay Tucker Show.
There you go.
As I told you during the break. PJ Hall.
Seth Cook.
PJ Hall is the guy that I was. PJ Hall is the defensive tackle the Texans just signed. I told Sean I was going to watch. I told Sean randomly just a couple minutes ago. I was like, I'm going to watch some PJ Tucker film this afternoon.
Like, okay, buddy. Knock yourself out. Yeah.
I didn't expect to hear that today. So what I meant is I got to watch some PJ Hall film.
Yeah.
And I'll get back to you tomorrow. I'm going to be on with Clinton and Show this afternoon also. I think at 3:30, so
okay.
They'll probably want to talk about PJ Hall.
Yeah, I'll be on at 5:15 with them. Yeah, it was funny when you said that to me during the break. It was right before we started to come back, and you're like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to watch some PJ Tucker film." And Seth, I oftentimes say this about you when people ask. I say that the great thing about Seth as a co-host is that he's a former football player, but he watches all this. Like he watches and is a fan of, and is a very educated opinion giver on all the sports. Like you really do. You put in the time. And as you said, I'm going to watch some PJ Tucker film. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, you don't need to go over the top with it, buddy. Like, you know, I got it. I don't need the false hustle of you. What are you going to do? Watch an entire highlight reel? Here's a corner three from the left. Here's a corner three from the right. Snarly rebound. Like,
I'd just love to come in tomorrow and be like, Sean, we need at least 2 10-minute segments about PJ Tucker.
I got an idea for a new segment.
I think it's discovered a few new ways they can use him.
Yes.
These guys are running horns all wrong. I got plans, big plans.
Yeah,
you know,
Seth,
I'm gonna send this manifesto off to Maury.
Like, I didn't want to discourage you because I'm like, man, that's really diligent of Seth to watch PJ Tucker film. But I think he is what he is at this point. Like, I don't know that we're gonna unlock anything new with it. There's no cheat code that exists for PJ Tucker where all of a sudden he turns into a guy who's beating guys off the dribble and taking it to the rack. So yeah, that was funny. PJ Hall, just so people know, as Seth mentioned, PJ Hall, former Sam Houston State Bearcat, former Oakland Raider, former second round pick, is now a Houston Texan. They signed him off the street today. We'll see if Anthony Weaver can turn him into a productive player here in Houston. Seth, the Texas Tribune had an article that you brought to my attention, and I think it highlights something that I think gets lost a little bit in the argument about college football or no college football this fall. Certainly the economics get talked about a lot with this, but they get talked about more in the context of, man, if we don't have college football this fall, then the TV contract money is not going to come in and you're going to have these athletic departments, many of whom are already swimming in red ink. They're going to be drowning in red ink with no 30 or 40. Or in the case of the Big Ten, these schools get over $50 million a year each from the Big Ten network. That money is, you know, presumably, I'm guessing that money is not coming in, at least for the football part of that contract. So we talk about the financial effects on the schools themselves, but the economic impact of college football on some of these towns, which many of which that is their main industry, is the local college. And the subset of that, the biggest subset being the college football team of that local college. I think a big reason why the SEC is sticking this thing out is that other than Nashville, every single town in the SEC is a small college town. There are, you know, some are bigger than others. Baton Rouge is probably bigger than Tuscaloosa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but they're all.
No, that's a very good point. Compared to the NFL, compared to Major League Baseball, these are little college towns who are already reeling in some form or fashion from the loss of students in the spring,
yes,
in the summer, and now whatever the attendance policy is going to be in the fall, they're reeling from that too. And it's a lot of people that like own, you know, a little small time. They own one rental house or something.
Yeah.
Or they have a restaurant that does most of their business on game days or weekend nights. It's a big deal.
some pretty staggering numbers in this piece just on the Texas schools. And again, the Texas schools are all at the FBS level, the Texas schools are all fine right now, because as of right now, the Big 12, which has, you know, four or five Texas schools, the SEC, which has Texas A&M, those conferences are all going to play, as quite honestly, as is the American Athletic Conference, which has Houston and SMU. Conference USA is still playing right now. That's where Rice plays. So if you're a college football fan in the state of Texas and you want college football to be played, it's been a good week for you so far, or at least a week that shouldn't, a week where you can, your nerves can be a little bit less on edge. University of Texas at Austin reported in 2015 that it had a local economic impact of more than $63 million per home game. It's a staggering number. According to a 2011 estimate from the College Station Chamber of Commerce, Texas A&M home games generate $20 million in direct consumer revenue. With a typical run of seven home games, the city's businesses see an upward tick of $140 million every football season. And then according to a 2013 study, Baylor Athletics had a $373 million impact on Waco's economy.
Well, and I would say, yeah, the 2011 study for A&M, that was before the stadium was renovated, too.
It was before they were in the SEC.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I would imagine those numbers have probably gone up quite a bit. Baylor also, you know, like all these schools, these studies are all at least 5 years old. So it's probably more than that. I don't know. Yeah, and now we're starting to see, look, in Houston, the bar owners are just besides themselves, because this is non-college football related. I just, man, it's been a long time. And it's, I think sometimes, you know, maybe we get numb to just how bad it's gotten for so many different industries and so many individual small business owners. This is just like one more brick in that wall of the wall of misery that the COVID has created. Because there's a lot of people, these are seasonal businesses in some respects, and they're all just going to be completely dry.
They are, and even if college football happens in these conferences, my guess is these businesses are going to take a hit, because who knows if there's going to be fans in the stands.
Is A&M still planning on 55,000?
I do not know.
Okay.
Even if they said they were right now, who the hell knows by the time the end of September rolls around? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now the Cowboys, so Jerry Jones said they plan on having games. Again, that's not college football, obviously, but they said yesterday they plan on having fans at every game.
Okay.
And
yeah.
They've got, you know, their ventilation system is incredible, I guess. Yeah. But I didn't see exactly how many fans they want to have or are going to be allowed to have.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, you're going to need fans to some degree at the stadium to recoup some of this lost money. But it means a lot to the state of Texas. These college football programs do. It means a lot to the economies of the athletic department. And I keep my fingers crossed that we're going to get SEC, ACC, and Big 12 football. I know not everybody agrees with that. There's a lot of people out there that think, no, it's dangerous to play the football games. I'm of the opinion that it's not as though if we shut down football, we're all of a sudden sending these kids into some sort of safe haven somewhere from the coronavirus compared to what they'd be doing while they're playing. Well,
yeah, and I think that, as it is with everything, it's all a big experiment. And, you know, depending on how your individual school is handing kids come back to school, you know, in some places they're doing rolling A-B groups with, you know, some kids on Monday, Wednesday, some kids on Tuesday, Thursday. Other places just full bore back at it. That data will start rolling in, I suppose. I know that so far the bubbles that have been created at various places for sports seem to be pretty successful.
Yeah.
We just don't know. We don't know how that's going to affect teachers, administrators, people that are older. I don't know. We'll see.
NBA had another zero positive test report yesterday for the week ending August 3rd or something like that, or week ending August 1st. It was, the NBA has been flawless so far in terms of executing their bubble as pertains to the coronavirus. Meanwhile, Seth, while you've got coaches and programs in the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 getting ready for a season, you all of a sudden have these coaches in the Pac-12 and the Big 10 that are scrambling, that are doing something now that they probably, even in their heart of hearts, even when they knew it was a possibility, they didn't want to believe it, planning for a spring season that's probably not going to happen. And Ryan Day of Ohio State, who, let's face it, is probably the program amongst those two conferences that has the most to lose this year, because they're a national championship contender. They have a Heisman Trophy candidate as a quarterback. I think it was safe to say Ohio State was going to be one of the a good chance one of the four teams standing at the end of the year to play in the playoff. Now they're not going to play this year. And they're looking at a spring season. And Ryan Day is all of a sudden looking at, they had a decommitment earlier this week. He's probably having to look at playing defense right now when it comes to recruiting as opposed to playing offense. And my guess is that there are SEC and ACC and Big 12 programs that are calling his commitments that may even be reaching out through third parties to players on his roster right now about transferring and things like that. These Big 10 and Pac-12 coaches are in a rough spot. Ryan Day yesterday is now having to at least pay lip service to a spring season, and he is saying he wants it to start in January.
In my opinion, our staff, we've met on this with Gene, and I think that starting, you know, the first week of January would be the best way to go. You know, an 8-week season, and that way there is some separation between that season and the next season, and you know, allow some of the mid-year guys to come in and possibly, you know, play a 2-for-1. You know, they get two seasons in one calendar year, which, you know, the recruits I think would be really excited about. That's kind of the focus right now is trying to, you know, put this plan together.
Seth, I feel so bad for this guy.
Wait. So he's saying, I had read this and I didn't know. He's thinking that high school seniors that graduate early would be able to come in and play immediately?
Yep.
Wow.
After having just played high school football months ago.
They'd get to play three seasons in one calendar year. Their high school season, a college. Hey, that's going to be a great selling point. Hey, you just finished a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And now you're going to play again. Then you'll get to play again a few months after that.
This time next year, you won't be able to walk. But good news, we're going to provide the wheelchair for you.
We will exhaust your NCAA eligibility before you're even eligible to play in the NFL. And that's actually true, Sean.
Yeah.
or right at the same time, because then you'd have two seasons there, then you could have your third season in your sophomore year. You can't leave for the NFL after your third season because you have to be 3 years past your high school graduation date. Now, that's not going to work at all. You know what he's going to do next, Sean? This is what he's going to do. I guarantee you, if they manage to pull this off, Ohio State would try to claim that there will be another national championship, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten will have mini playoffs, and they'll have their own national champion in March or something.
Yeah, they're going to go UCF on us. They're just going to declare themselves champions. Ryan Day had to finish up that interview, hang up the phone or turn off the Zoom or whatever it was, and be like, God, I hate myself right now. What am I saying? What am I doing? I'm out here pitching a spring season that starts in January in Columbus, Ohio. Like, if you're going to play all cold weather games against the Big Ten that starts in January, they may start you're pitching a season that's going to start while presumably the real football schools are still playing their postseason.
Somebody says, what would change honestly from right now to spring? I mean, the big obvious one is a vaccine potentially.
Right.
And that if there's a vaccine in December or early January, then that changes the calculus on a whole lot of things. But I think the other big thing is the weather, as you pointed out, Sean. I didn't even thought of it. It's the Big Ten. You can't be playing football in January.
Let's start in January. Sounds like a great idea, Coach. All right. Text message. So, Sean, basically you're saying hopefully Anthony Weaver can pull a blue chew on PJ Hall and turn that little fella into a raging beast. That is exactly what I'm saying. All right. The playoff matchup is set for the Rockets, and it is the most intriguing matchup, I think, in the entire league. We'll run through what the dance card looks like next. It is Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Darren Revell will join us at the bottom of the hour, as he does each and every Thursday. A reminder, tomorrow, Bill O'Brien on with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, promptly at 8 o'clock on Texans Training Camp Live as we get you ready for practices starting up tomorrow. J.J. Watt going to be on with the afternoon guys on Friday as well. So make a note, we got you covered. And that's just the beginning on Friday. I mean, this first day is on Friday. That's a big first day. But we got you covered going forward as well here on Sports Radio 610. Meanwhile, Seth, the NBA playoffs are getting ready to go through the annual tradition of starting up the third week of August. It's an annual tradition starting this year, and hopefully the last time this ever happens.
Yeah,
but
because we'll roll out of this right into a brand new NBA season.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, and hopefully that's the case here because it means the Rockets will have made a deep playoff run. But The 7 of the 8 matchups are set for the playoffs. So whatever games are left over to play in this, what they call the seeding portion of the season, these 8 games in Orlando, the only playoff series left to be etched into stone is who the Lakers are playing in the first round once the play-in for the 8 seed is done in the Western Conference. And even that is still up in the air as to, I believe, as to who's going to be playing in that play-in. I think if we're rooting for intrigue, and if you're a Western Conference team hoping that somebody can do the dirty work for you and knock off the Lakers, then you want the one-man wrecking crew that is Damian Lillard in there right now, who scored 61 the other night. Portland against the Lakers would be about as intriguing a 1-versus-8 as we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah.
But the Rockets and the Thunder are going to be the series 4-versus-5, and I can't wait. This is definitely the most intriguing first-round series the Rockets have played during the James Harden era, to me, without a doubt, in large part because, you know, they've spent a few seasons up as the 1 or the 2, so you're playing the 7 or the 8. Part of that is a function of being a 4-5 seed, is it's going to be a very even kind of series. But, Utah would have been an easier foe, I think, than OKC, but we've beaten up on Utah the last couple of years. Let's get this CP3 revenge tour thing going here.
Yeah, this is I wonder how conflicted people in Oklahoma City are about all of this, in that they've cultivated a nice hatred for James Harden over the last several years. Any love of him as the sixth man of the year has long been, you know, subdued. But it is Russell Westbrook versus the Thunder in this newcomer Chris Paul, who they can't. I gotta imagine most Thunder fans still feel way more affection for Russell Westbrook than Chris Paul, right?
Yeah, yes, they do, because Russ might be the most popular player in the history of the franchise. But OKC does have a little kinship with Chris Paul from when he was with New Orleans.
Yeah.
And after Katrina, they had to play, you know, half the season in OKC. That was one of the, I think, you know, selling points, maybe too strong a term, but I think that was one of the things when Chris Paul got sent to OKC, is that fans up there might be okay with that because they're fond of Chris Paul.
Well, that was he basically sold the NBA on Oklahoma City being a viable NBA place, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, look, Oklahoma City, I know a lot of you might be saying, Seth, why are you even caring about Oklahoma City fans? You know, the vast majority of them don't even make it out of seventh grade. Half of them are married to their third cousins. Yes, that's all true. It's all true. But they are human beings for the most part.
What?
That one owner's son that is never allowed there again because he got into it with Pat Beverly. I mean, that guy, like, that's pretty much like, he's pretty much a cross section of what the average Oklahoma City fan is.
Can I ask you something real quick? Not to interrupt you. Yeah. Exactly how much of the United States do you think is inbred?
23%.
Okay, I'm just checking.
And that's only because they can't figure out how to do more. Okay. That's because they frankly aren't motivated enough.
Like any state that has any hint of rurality, ruralness.
Hey, listen, I'm not talking about Okies in general. I'm just talking about Thunder fans.
Oh, I got you. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you see them on TV.
A fair enough number of Oklahomans don't even know what basketball is.
I'm just checking because you paint the entire state of Indiana with that brush.
They're out busy watering their dirt lawns. You know, like, oh, hold on, Ma.
Right.
I'll be back come sundown. I got to water the dirt. Yeah.
So the big concern for the Rockets here, and you know what's funny? You bring up OKC fans, Seth, because I think, you know, deep down, what do they want the most out of this? They probably want to beat the Rockets. They obviously want to beat the Rockets in this series, but I do wonder if there's part of OKC fan going, we want to beat the Rockets, but we want to beat them with Russ on the court. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we want the great storyline, because deep down, they're probably not winning a championship. If you're going to beat the Rockets, then you may as well beat them with the guy who got traded to the Rockets from your team, the most popular player in the history of your franchise.
At his request, though.
Yeah. But I think they've given him a pass for that. I don't think they're mad at Russ.
I know, it's weird. That's where I worry again that the inbreeding, the constant inbreeding, has it's left them void of any pride.
Like now,
Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook both are like, get me the hell out of here. And they're like, all right, bye, guys. Oh, you're welcome back anytime.
So Russ has this right quad contusion going on right now. He got an MRI on it, and right now it's up in the air if he's going to be there when the playoffs start next week. We haven't seen a schedule yet for when the first game is going to be. We know the last regular season game for the Rockets is tomorrow against the Sixers. James Harden was asked after the game, you know, no Russ, what do you guys do?
We got to just continue to get better. Guys that have opportunities to step up, got to be ready to go and take advantage of the minutes. You know, obviously, we all know how huge how important Russ is to everything we're trying to accomplish. So the faster he can get his body right and get his get back on the court, the better off we'll be.
They, Seth, they can. I'm not going to say they can win a series against Oklahoma City without Russ. Let me start with that. And they can function at a perfectly high level with James on the court without Russell Westbrook. The problem becomes the 12 or 14, or maybe by the playoffs, and if Russ is still hurt, it's only about 7 or 8 minutes. It's the chunk of time where James isn't on the floor. They've got no facilitators on this roster. They've got guys who can get to the rack and create some things. Eric Gordon is one. Austin Rivers, we saw a couple nights ago. He can do that at a decent level. They've got guys who can shoot, certainly some good shooters. I wouldn't say snipers of the Klay Thompson variety, but Ben McLemore's been outrageous in the bubble. Jeff Green's been pretty good. Daniel House. They don't have anybody, though, who can really initiate the offense like James Harden. And that's my big concern with this team, because Oklahoma City does. When Chris Paul's not on the floor, Schroeder is a perfectly good facilitator. Gilgeous Alexander. They've got some really good ball handlers and creators on the wing. So they need Russ in this series. Can they win the series without Russ? Yes, they can. James Harden is that great. He's a great basketball player who can carry a team. And this is not a great Oklahoma City team. It's a pesky Oklahoma City team. But you need Russ just to make sure that you don't have to go 7 in this thing.
Well, we just watched the Rockets lose a game that they didn't need to win, but they lost a game in which James Harden scored 45 points.
Right.
And when he was off the court, they were a minus whatever the deficit they lost by is by when Harden was off the court.
It was ridiculous how bad they were offensively without James on the court. So
there's also the chance too that and that's the irony of this situation is I feel like they are set up right this moment to have Mike D'Antoni play more people in the playoffs than he's ever played before. Yeah. I feel like he's got 9 guys that are capable of playing. That doesn't mean I need to see a 9-man rotation every single night, but I don't think he's going to leave guys wasting away on the bench for entire playoff series this year, because he has all these guys that are cut from the same cloth, and they can come in and they can play the same switching style of defense. But the key thing is, you need Russell Westbrook and James Harden out there at any given moment. I think they're being very, very careful right now. I don't think this is some kind of smokescreen like some people are claiming it is. D'Antoni isn't – that's not his MO. He doesn't kind of operate – look, D'Antoni's just – D'Antoni's trying to figure out where he's going to be living 3 months from now. He's just trying to get through the – he's just taking it day by day at this point.
I love how you make it sound like he's living in an apartment somewhere, like a one-bedroom apartment. Like, hey, man, if he doesn't have this job anymore, he's going to have to think seriously about where he moves. Guy's got like 4 houses.
He goes into Tillman Fertitta's office the day after the finals, after they win the championship, right, Sean?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Tillman, my lease is up, and I got nowhere else to go. Can I have a job this year?
Right, and Tillman's like, I'll give you a draw against your next contract. How does that sound? All right. Darren Revell. There's a lot to get into with Darren Revell. I'm sure that if anybody's pulled out the calculator as to what the impact of this college football cancellation trend is going to be, it's Darren Revell. We'll talk to him about that, the NFL bubble, and how that's when bubble, air quotes, is working. Darren Revell, the Action Network, joins us for his weekly visit next. Texans training camp happening now. First practice tomorrow. Bill O'Brien on 8 o'clock tomorrow with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. Texans training camp live. J.J. Watt on with the afternoon guys tomorrow as well. It is going to be a big festive first day of practice here on your home of Houston Texans football, Sports Radio 610. Some Saturday programming as well, Seth. You and I are going to be doing it on Saturday as well from 2 to 6. You're 2 to 4 and Clint is 4 to 6. I'm on 2 to 6 with both of you guys. So we're going to be bringing the Texans heat on Saturday as well.
Are we in studio or are you going to be at the...
In studio.
Okay, gotcha.
In studio, yep.
I thought maybe I'd be in studio and you'd be at the practice or something and you could just do play-by-play for me.
I am going
to... Kiki QT, ran the wrong route.
I am going to practice, but I think it's going to be... I'll be done in enough time to get back to the studio for a 2 o'clock start. So with that said, we go to the hotline and we are joined by our good friend from the Action Network. Download the free Action Network app. It has been just popping the last few days, and hopefully soon football to add to it with all those live scores and live odds. Darren Revell joining us for his weekly visit. Darren, how you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah, it's been a big week in the college football world. I wanted to Seth and I talked a little earlier this hour about the economic impact of all this, but there's so many layers to unpack, and I know you've been tweeting quite a bit about it, and you guys have been covering it at the Action Network. What's the big? I know they're going to say health of the players. Is there a big driving reason behind? Do you think that's on the surface? That's it, or is there more to it than meets the eye in terms of the cancellation of the fall seasons by the Big Ten and the Pac-12?
Well, listen, everyone is belligerent on Twitter. They think that I want to cancel, everything. I would say that from talking to people in the room, in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, that it wasn't necessarily about testing, right? So like the SEC and the ACC come out and say, here's our testing, right? This is how the testing is going to work. What the doctors had said to the group in both cases, although it wasn't exactly the same thing, is they all have the same data. There's nothing that the SEC or the Big 12 or the ACC has that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 didn't. But what they're concerned about is, fine, you have all the tests. But what happens when you have a kid who tested positive for COVID, and then when you do that heart test, they have myocarditis or whatever, and then it's like, well, is it then too late? Not like the guy is going to die, but potentially there are long term effects, and what do you do with that? And the NCAA said last week that there are no liability waivers, that schools cannot say, you're signing over when you get on the field, because they don't think it's enforceable. So then the question becomes, if the guys are getting on the field alone, is that a quid pro quo for I'm accepting the responsibility if I get sick? And then aside from that, there's some schools who have an issue. Yes, the chances that an athlete will die is slim, but there are other issues involved, and I would say one more thing. Contact tracing is also an issue. One athletic director told me that the Big Ten can't contact trace in a universal way because each state and each area have different rules with contact tracing. New Mexico is postponing their football season right now, even though their conference is going ahead with it, because New Mexico has a 14-day required quarantine. Well, how are you going to play an away game under that? You can't. So it's very complicated.
Darren, what do you think is going to happen with attendance in the NFL this year? Jerry Jones yesterday said they plan on playing in front of fans. He didn't specify a total amount or not. And like, frankly, here in Houston, we don't know, even though the Texans came out and said they would limit it to 14,000 fans, we don't know at this point whether they're planning on having any fans at all. Do you think that some teams are going to go ahead and try to have fans, or is that
I predicted in I think March or April that there'll be no fans. Mm-hmm. There'll be no fans. I don't see how it's possible. And I told you last week that Jerry Jones was hoping for 100% capacity.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't that line up with even even a week later, doesn't that line up where he lauds the naturally built airflow in AT&T? It's funny. I was at the first game. It was Giants Cowboys, the first game in that stadium, and I was doing some stuff for NBC and CNBC and Good Morning America. The Today Show was there, and I remember doing all the news hits on what this place has between the TV and the size of the TV and all these different things, and for the first time you could see players walk from the locker room to the field and the field suites and all this. I double checked. There was nothing about some proprietary airflow. Not on the list. Not on the list. I'm willing to bet that yesterday was the first day after 11 years of this stadium being around that we've talked about that attribute.
Well, I wonder, I mean, it is like the state requires there to be a certain amount of airflow in any kind of indoor commercial building too. So it's not, I wonder how unique it is to that stadium compared to just your local auto shop anyway.
I'd like to know how the airflow works. What happens? I even read a story from in a trade publication like Engineers Daily or something like that that talked about the guys that did the HVAC system in there in 2009. No mention of the airflow. So
no, there you go.
Darren, you had tweeted out a couple hours ago that, it was 5 years ago today that Adidas signed James Harden to a 13-year, $200 million endorsement deal. Do you have any feedback on just whether, how good of a move that was for Adidas, what their payback has been on it, anything like that?
Did you see the results of the poll?
Well, okay, look, I'm going to be honest with you, Darren. You said, have you bought a pair of his signature shoes? Now, I think, frankly, Darren, given your Twitter followership, which is probably a lot of guys like Sean and I that follow you on Twitter, I feel like you could have said, have you bought a pair of LeBrons or have you bought a pair of like any given basketball shoe?
Okay. So 4% said yes. LeBron, what would LeBron's be?
I would say
15%?
It might be, yeah.
Yeah, listen,
maybe less though too. I think you're underestimating the youth of your listeners.
Yeah, I got a young crowd. The young people like me too. you got to remember the people who hate me from Barstool. They also follow me by default. I have a lot of young haters. I mean, I would say my hating skews, in the 16 to 24. I battle more people in that demo every day than anyone else.
Yeah, only 3.9% have bought the shoes.
Yeah. Right. So listen, I think that Adidas at the time made the right move. James is a little weird in that, and I'm not sure if you're going to agree with me, but nationally, the impression of him is what he does on the court is freaking electric, but who he is off the court is quiet.
Yeah, I think the national perception, yeah, I think quiet, I would say aloof, maybe, just by the way he carries himself.
Aloof, different. He's not the guys who do the best are the guys who match up off the court. And I would say the shoes themselves outside the first one that they did, I don't think they've been great. I love there's been some great LeBrons. There's been some incredible Kyries. There's been, the first version of the Giannis was amazing with the big Nike swoosh. I don't think Adidas has done him any favors. So I don't think this is all about James Harden, but
Yeah, I know where you're going with it, though, too, or what you're saying. And it's, Sean and I have actually had this conversation before. What is the right adjective to describe LeBron James? Because I don't think aloof is quite it. I don't think he necessarily.
You mean Harden. You said LeBron.
Harden, yeah. What did I say? LeBron, yeah. Oh, yeah, whatever he is. I don't know if aloof is the right word for Harden, but whatever it is, there's a certain maybe unknowable a trait to him to where you don't necessarily, I could see where people might not feel that same attachment to him as they might other NBA players.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's that. There's definitely some sort of unknownness that makes people not as attached as they could be if you believe in the ideal of sports marketing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us on the program for his weekly visit. So Darren, I feel like if anybody's crunched the numbers or at least looked at the numbers for what I'm about to ask, it would be you. If college football winds up not happening this fall, right? If the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 ultimately go the same way as the Big 10 and the Pac-12, and there's this gigantic void sitting there on Saturdays where America wants some version of football, I got to believe the NFL is going to swoop in there with some content, with some inventory. And if so, how much of the revenue shortfall that they're going to experience from not having fans in these stadiums, can they recoup from taking over Saturdays in a couple of the national broadcast windows?
Yeah, I mean, the question becomes the rights holders aren't going to pay more for that. So I don't know if there is the question for me is, are the rights holders going to be able to charge more potentially if the ratings can go up? And when does that manifest itself? I don't really know. I know that they're not going to say, hey, you know, now you have your own window on a Saturday, and now, you know, ESPN, which is paying $1.9 billion, you know, hey, we'll give you one there, and now it's 2.4. Like, there's not immediate revenue from just the switchover. But if you argue that the ratings go up and the rights holders can charge more, you know, the problem is that's like a domino effect. And by the time you know that, you're halfway through the season. But it is such a confusing time in life, and even, you know, for all of us, because we have no idea. I mean, the other thing I'm grappling with is, so what happens if the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC start a season and they stop? Are they competing in the spring football season?
Yeah, no, I saw your poll about that yesterday. Darren, it's absolutely wild. Like the college football stuff is fascinating. Is fascinating to me. And what do you think? Like, ultimately, the hope is that there's some normalcy restored, and that at some point in the fall of 2021, we're back to doing college football again. Do you think that especially if the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 move forward with a fall season and actually execute a fall season, is this a turning point for the Power Five where there's any sort of separation, or do they just reconvene a year and a half from now when we have a vaccine and it's all the same again?
Yeah, no, there's a chance that this leads to substantive changes. Listen, I thought that you can't take away the fact that players' rights, you know, were asserted here more than ever before. When Trevor Lawrence said, "We want to play," what followed after that was a graphic with union rhetoric. I mean, it's like, we want to play. We want, like, standard health benefits and all this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, and I thought that was not smart, because I thought that confuses the matter. It's like, we want to play is totally opposing. We want to be a union and we want leverage, right? Like, which is it? Which is it? So, like, that would, but you could see that as a moment of, we deserve our own voice. We don't think the president should be making that decision. And at the same time, you hear the Nebraskas and Ohio State yesterday saying, well, we kind of explored seeing if we could play here and without the Big Ten, and that wasn't an option. So, you know, yes, there does seem to be some schools that want independence. But complete independence, that's what they would need here, because, you know, the Big Ten supposedly voting, you know, whatever it was, 12-2 or whatever. I mean, you're going to have some sort of affiliation. Or is it going to be, is this the beginning to everyone on their own? I can't conceive of that.
Yeah.
Darren, you know, as I'm looking at your former employer, ESPN's top headlines right now, and you, of course, now you work for the Action Network, where you have much more freedom to do whatever the hell you want. I'm looking at one headline is Joe Kelly calls Astros snitches and rats in a podcast. I'm looking at another headline that says Pac-Man Jones, of all people, sets Harden jerseys ablaze in a video.
What?
There's kind of a sense I'm getting in Houston. I feel like a lot of people, you know, every sports city thinks that they're the ones that are maligned unfairly. I do get a sense over this past calendar year, or maybe let's say since the cheating scandal came out, is Houston becoming one of the least popular cities in sports?
Yeah, embrace it.
Yeah, what I say. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how many times does a baseball fan say, oh, we're going to show you. Yeah. We're going to show you that we were real. I mean, I feel like there's passion. Baseball needs more negativity.
Real quick, I have to correct myself. They were Joe Haden jerseys that Pac-Man Jones was burning.
Oh, not that, James Harden.
Oh. Yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers player Joe Haden. That makes a lot more sense, like, given
former Browns cornerback.
Yeah.
Yes. That makes
Same
so much
thing.
More sense. I had to click on the article. Obviously,
are you trying to make Houston more mad?
Apparently, we need to embrace it, Darren. I feel like we should hire you as a consultant, Seth, and I should on how to monetize it.
Hey, I'm the king of hate. You know?
Yeah, we're like Houston's like the Darren Revelle of cities. This is incredible. Good stuff.
Yeah. No, just embrace it. Listen, you, anything that we are so every morning, I am so dizzy from what's going on that, you know, anything that you can do that will inject passion into your life is a blessing.
No doubt.
And even negativity is passion.
That's right. Move yourself emotionally every day. No question. Darren Revelle, Action
Andrew
Network.
Bowles.
And yes, stay healthy out there. Darren Revelle, Action Network. Download the free Action Network app. Sports is back. And live scores, live odds, tracking your bets. It is the best when it comes to that. Darren, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Darren Revelle joins us each and every week in this little time slot right here, 9:35 on Thursdays. All right, so Seth, I'm headed over for my second COVID test.
Go get that nostril swab.
That's it.
Ask if they can do both of them.
Yeah.
If they're
yeah.
feeling frisky.
No, they do. They do both of them.
Oh, they do.
They do. Yeah.
That's a bargain,
just,
right there.
I was just gonna say something that would probably get me kicked off the air. I'll text it to you instead. So we're done. We're about out of time. I will be on. After my COVID test within the loop, I will be on at 5:15 with Clint and Cho, as you will as well, Seth, 3:30 today?
I believe so, 3:35.
Okay,
yeah.
So we got you covered. Training camp's here. Practice starts tomorrow. And J.J. Watt's going to be on with the afternoon, guys. Bill O'Brien, 8 a.m. tomorrow. It is a football festival here going on Sports Radio 610. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, T cells, and stay sanitized.
Thank you. I shall. We will see all of you tomorrow. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, they are up next. They are in the loop. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay safe. Have a great day, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.